Welcome to the Screencast Late Night. I am Sean DeRager, and of course, with me, as always, is Brett Henderson.
Yo, what's up? How you doing?
is that you're not talking this episode? The late night, I'm just like this, and I'm about to pour myself some Jameson whiskey.
Oh, shit. Are you serious, dog?
I know it's a Tuesday, but, you know. Can't have a late night podcast without some whiskey.
Oh yeah,
some Irish whiskey.
I guess so, dog.
Good morning to my Irish friends.
Wow. Oh my god.
Cheers.
Is this for one person?
So this is the this episode for one person. No, we have. I was trying to pull it up here, and see, it doesn't matter. But we have a handful of patrons who have signed up to pay $5 a month, and the whole thing is they basically get the drive of the conversation when we do these late night episodes, and the goal is I want, you know, pretty much everyone to hear these. We're gonna have a discussion about that though, because I'm still debating about the whole paywall thing. There's a couple ideas we can go, but we'll talk about that in a second. But, so those of you who signed up and you're paying $5 a month, you guys are going to get hit up from us like once a week. We're going to ask you guys, you know, if there's anything at all you'd like us to talk about. I was going to limit it to like genre and horror. I don't care. Like it can be anything, like anything. And we'll chat about whatever topic you bring up, for about 20 to 30 minutes. We have a handful of requests already. And what we're going to do is like every time you throw in a request, I'm going to keep track of them in like a spreadsheet or something. So each week we'll basically pick one and then we'll say who gave it, you know, who provided the topic, and we'll bullshit about it for a while and just, you know, just have fun. And
yes,
for 3 hours. Nope. Yeah. So that's part of the fun of it. I kind of like that it's a little bit different. It's a little bit off the cuff. And it was something that was nothing we can really like prepare for, you know, so it makes it a little more interesting. So the goal is right now, this is only available for $5 patrons. Those of you who've signed up and pay $5 a month, you get to hear this episode. I have certain goals set up that I would like to make per month. So if we hit our first goal, we'll unlock this for the $3 patrons and up. But they won't be driving the conversation. Only the $5 tier will be driving the conversation still. But the $3 and up will be able to hear it. After that, once we hit our next goal, we'll unlock it for all patrons to hear it. But as always, the $5 patrons, you guys are kind of the guys and gals providing the content for us to talk about. You guys are involved. And I'm still figuring out Zencastr, but when we do like live Google Hangouts and we do this, you guys will be invited to hang out with us on a Google Hangout and participate and bullshit around for 20 to 30 minutes, about the topic. So it's going to be fun. Like we got some fun stuff to look forward to. Now, the question that I'm probably going to put out in some sort of poll or something is, cause I eventually could, you know, within a couple weeks, release these on our normal feed for everyone to hear. Now, if we do that, we may have to watch certain things we say and how deep we can go in certain conversations, just because it's a free for all, it's out there for everybody. If it's behind the paywall, we're a little more protected. People can download an episode and share it with whoever they want and piss them off or whatever. But there's a little more control, and if we keep it behind the paywall, I don't know what you think, Brad, but maybe we can dive into things in a little more detail and kind of give out privileged information. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of thinking this through as we're doing this.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, yeah, I think we can judge ourselves, and no one knows that we recorded an episode anyway, so it's not like anybody's going to be like, oh, where's that episode that you recorded for this guy?
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's going to be basically, so we're pulling these out of a fedora. My trusty fedora.
Please don't mention your fedora. No.
So with all that, we can just jump right into this, man. Sound good?
That sounds perfect.
I know it's 11 o'clock over there. You need to perk up.
Absolutely perfect.
But first, let me bring up our Patreon page and thank our patrons here. Every time we do this, we'll give shout outs to the brand new patrons. But, this time around, I'm gonna go ahead and list everyone off who has donated at the $5 level. This is for you guys. All right. Joe Gwynn. Did I say that right this time, Brad?
I think you did.
Joe, did I say that right? Let me know. Send me a message on Patreon. Paul Farrell, Luis Soto, Nathaniel Rivera, Ron Compostine, Francisco Laranjo. If I butcher your names, please let me know. Call me out. Be brutal. Peter Allen and John Michael. So all of you, thank you so much for being patrons. I don't have like creative names. I'm horrible at that crap. These other podcasts have like really super creative names. What I put on here? I just, tier one is a tip jar, tier two early access, tier three Screamcast late night. And I even put up there an official sponsor tier for those of you with deep pockets and a marketing budget.
Dang.
And spread the word. We're about halfway to our $100 mark. If we make $100 a month, I'm going to be able to, purchase Zencastr for a year. I really love how it sounds. It sounds like me and Brad are just kind of hanging out next to each other. His hands on my, feeling. On my leg, and it's moving its way up my thigh. And, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Never mind. Yeah. That was a dream I had the other night.
Screamcast late night.
All right. So our first topic here that we're going to talk about this time around is from Paul Farrell. Cheers, Paul.
Cheers, Paul.
You're not drinking. I know it's a Tuesday, but just pretend.
Didn't you hear that sip right now?
I did. Were you drinking water?
No, man.
Coca-Cola. Yo, yeah! So Paul
I know
says,
that's right.
Excited to be a part of the show and help in any way I can. Topic. Best genre double features.
Topic.
What would be some great, relatively unseen films to pair together in an effort to win over a friend who may not be a fan of horror? Example, I once showed 1987's The Stepfather. I paired it with 1978's Martin to a horror novice, and they walked away craving more. A fun pairing that offered different perspectives of a genre, but still played well together in terms of tone and pace. So, Brad, I know you've been thinking about this.
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Oh.
No. Fuck. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I probably have a couple notes here and there. So Stepfather and Martin. That's an interesting double feature, I must say. Let's see, to win over, what won you over, Sean? Like, what did you remember, like, watching something and saying, okay, this is something, like, I want to dive into, like, genre-wise? Like, was there any films that made you want to, like, jump in the genre and just devour whatever you could? Did you ever have that moment or to remember that?
Well, I mean, like, for me, it's always been like monster movies. So the one, I mean, and I've always been able to get away with sci-fi, but I mean, the one that did it for me that really got me into just wanted to devour more and more monster movies, was Predator. I mean, I was a huge Schwarzenegger fan and it scared the shit out of me, but I couldn't get that monster and the whole film like out of my head after that. I was at my grandpa's house and I think my dad was there and my uncles were there and the women were in the kitchen with my grandma doing something, but us guys were in the living room watching TV, and they were like, all right, we're gonna put on a movie. And I was like, well, what are you putting on? And I had to have been like seven or eight. And we were camping my grandpa's backyard that night. So they put on Predator and I sat there like, cause I'd never seen anything that violent. Number one, like I'd always been very sheltered from everything. And I don't think I'd ever seen anything that violent. I think before that I had seen like Terminator and that he rips, you know, one of the punk dude's hearts out. Right. And that was probably the goriest thing I'd ever seen. But Predator was like a whole new level, with Jesse Ventura getting his whole rib cage blown out and all the skinned soldiers hanging upside down and how the Predator, rips out the spinal column and cleans off the skulls and all that kind of stuff. Like this was hardcore, stuff for me. And I remember hiding behind the chair, but still fascinated all at the same time. And then that night we were spending the night in a tent in my grandpa's backyard and I don't think I slept at all. But after that, I started diving into Alien. I was scared, but I thought it was like a cool thing to be scared of, you know, if that makes any sense. Like I couldn't get it out of my head. And yeah, I was scared beyond, you know, I couldn't even handle it, but I was so scared. But after that, I started devouring Aliens, got more into the Terminator movies. And then I started tracking down like lesser known kind of monster movies like Deep Star 6. And then I finally got the courage to jump into the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And then it kind of went on from there. Like, so I think Predator was probably my entry point into finally giving horror a chance. Cause it, you know, I was always taught that, and it will, like monster movies were okay, but if we got into anything spiritual or with demons, then that was, you know, to watch out for. So, but because of Predator, I started, you know, opening up the floodgates and little by little adding more and more and getting more adventurous with stepping into the horror section. And then I always like things that were, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street that were a bit otherworldly. And, so I guess that was it. So that's a long way around of me saying that, Predator is the answer to your question.
Wow. Cool. Mine was Child's Play. But, all right.
Nice.
No, I just remember that one specifically of like actually scaring me and then wanting to watch, more and so on. So I mean, I think that was the film that kind of did it for me. And then I, just kind of devour whatever I could get my hands on at that point. And, when I was younger, we lived in Pennsylvania and there was a rental store that was like 45 minutes away at this spa place. Like for some reason up north in Pennsylvania in this small like ass like town, there's 45 minutes away. There was like a spa retailer, and in the spa retailer joint, they had a rental store in the back. How weird is that shit? Well, anyways, I remember like walking through and, picking out tapes to rent. And then when we moved to Florida, there was a few video stores, mom and pop places that were around. And then when I went to Ohio, which I've mentioned on the show many times, there was Video Time, which had wall to wall horror films. I mean, it was insane. Like, I mean, when you go into like kind of rental places like Blockbuster and even Video Hut that was around here, it was very limited, you know, maybe kind of like, not an end cap. One kind of like row of horror, maybe front and back, and the tapes were spread out really far. Well, at Video Time, it was nuts. I mean, it was probably, I remember it pretty vividly. It's, think it was like 4 tower shelves, not the ones that are half height in usual video stores, but the ones that towered over. There was at least 3 on one wall and about 6 on one and then 3 on the back. So it kind of made this like, horseshoe shape. And it was just boxes were right next to one another. I mean, there have been at least 1,000 tapes on those shelves. And that's kind of where I really dove into a lot of crazy shit because they had everything. Which was pretty cool. So in that sense, I watched a lot of, shot on video stuff to, mainstream stuff, everything. So I actually had an endless amount of movies to choose from. And, through the years of watching everything, I was always kind of the movie guy, the geeky kid. But at least people would like want to watch movies and want to come over. And then for, I don't know, maybe about 4 years, and this is in my adult life. I mean, this is just a few years ago, this stopped, but for about maybe 4 years, I did a movie night, hosting at my house, wherever I was living at the time. And we had, I would say, roughly about 8 people that would show, turn out, every Wednesday, every Thursday, for some time. I mean, sometimes it was just, 4 people, but, I mean, the most I think we ever had was, 8 at one time. But it was pretty consistent of at least 6 total. So, and that was including myself. So about 5 people came every night, or every week on a Wednesday we did it. And, I'm actually starting that back up this Thursday. But we're only going to do one film since we're all old. I did pairings. I tried to pair stuff. Sometimes I would just do something completely off the wall, do some 1990 splatter Japanese film and then throw in some 60s noir in there just to fuck with people. But sometimes I would pair stuff up. Pretty well. I would actually put a lot of thought into it. Maybe there is a certain tone, a certain theme, maybe an actor returns, maybe just kind of a plot, maybe a reverse plot. One time this would be a good one for you, Paul, to really fuck.
Welcome to the Screencast Late Night. I am Sean DeRager, and of course, with me, as always, is Brett Henderson.
Yo, what's up? How you doing?
is that you're not talking this episode? The late night, I'm just like this, and I'm about to pour myself some Jameson whiskey.
Oh, shit. Are you serious, dog?
I know it's a Tuesday, but, can't have a late night podcast without some whiskey.
Oh yeah,
some Irish whiskey.
I guess so, dog.
Good morning to my Irish friends.
Wow! Oh my god!
Cheers.
Isn't this for one person?
So this is the this page episode this episode for one person. No, we have I was trying to pull it up here and see. It doesn't matter, but we have a handful of patrons who have signed up to pay $5 a month, and the whole thing is they basically get to drive the conversation when we do these late night episodes, and the goal is I want pretty much everyone to hear these. We're gonna have a discussion about that though, because I'm still debating about the whole paywall thing. There's a couple ideas we can go, but we'll talk about that in a second. But, so those of you who signed up and you're paying $5 a month, you guys are going to get hit up from us once a week. We're going to ask you guys, if there's anything at all you'd like us to talk about. I was going to limit it to genre and horror. I don't care. It can be anything, anything. And we'll chat about whatever topic you bring up, for about 20 to 30 minutes. We have a few, a handful of requests already. And what we're going to do is like every time you throw in a request, we're going to keep, I'm going to keep track of them in like a spreadsheet or something. So each week we'll basically pick one and then we'll say who gave it, you know, who provided the topic, and we'll bullshit about it for, you know, for a while and just, you know, just have fun. And
yes,
for 3 hours. Nope. Yeah. So that's part of the fun of it. I kind of like that it's a little bit different. It's a little bit off the cuff. And it was something that was nothing we can really like prepare for, you know, so it makes it a little more interesting. So the goal is right now, this is only available for $5 patrons. Those of you who've signed up and pay $5 a month, you get to hear this episode. I have certain goals set up that I would like to make per month. So if we hit our first goal, we'll unlock this for the $3 patrons and up. But they won't be driving the conversation. Only the $5 tier will be driving the conversation still. But the $3 and up will be able to hear it. After that, once we hit our next goal, we'll unlock it for all patrons to hear it. But as always, the $5 patrons, you guys are kind of the guys and gals providing the content for us to talk about. And you guys are involved. And I'm still figuring out Zencastr, but when we do like live Google Hangouts and we do this, you guys will be invited to hang out with us on a Google Hangout and participate and bullshit around for 20 to 30 minutes, about the topic. So it's going to be fun. Like we got some fun stuff to look forward to. Now, the question that I'm probably going to put out in some sort of poll or something is, cause I eventually could, you know, within a couple of weeks, release these on our normal feed for everyone to hear. Now, if we do that, we may have to watch certain things we say and how deep we can go in certain conversations, just because it's a free for all, it's out there for everybody. If it's behind the paywall, we're a little more protected. People can download an episode and share it with whoever they want and piss them off or whatever. But there's a little more control, and if we keep it behind the paywall, I don't know what you think, Brad, but maybe we can dive into things in a little more detail and kind of give out privileged information. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of thinking this through as we're doing this.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, yeah, I think we can judge ourselves, and no one knows that we recorded an episode anyway, so it's not like anybody's going to be like, oh, where's that episode that you recorded for this guy?
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's going to be basically we're pulling these out of a fedora. My trusty fedora.
Please don't mention your fedora. No.
So with all that stuff, we can just jump right into this, man. Sound good?
That sounds perfect.
I know it's 11 o'clock over there. You need to perk up.
Absolutely perfect.
But first, let me bring up our Patreon page and thank our patrons here. Every time we do this, we'll give shout outs to the brand new patrons. But, this time around, I'm gonna go ahead and list everyone off who has donated at the $5 level. This is for you guys. All right. Joe Gwynn. Did I say that right this time, Brad?
I think you did.
Joe, did I say that right? Let me know. Send me a message on Patreon. Paul Farrell, Luis Soto, Nathaniel Rivera, Ron Compostine, Francisco Laranjo. If I butcher your names, please let me know. Call me out. Be brutal. Peter Allen and John Michael. So all of you, thank you so much for being patrons. I don't have like creative names. I'm horrible at that crap. There's these other podcasts have like really super creative names. What I put on here? I just, tier one is the tip jar, tier two, early access, tier three, Screamcast late night. And I even put up there an official sponsor tier for those of you with deep pockets and a marketing budget.
Dang.
And spread the word. We're about halfway to our $100 mark. If we make $100 a month, I'm going to be able to purchase Zencastr for a year. And I really love how it sounds. It sounds like me and Brad are just kind of hanging out next to each other. His hands on my leg, and it's moving its way up my thigh. And oh, wait a minute, hold on. Never mind. Yeah. That was a dream I had the other night.
Dream, yes, late night.
All right. So our first topic here that we're going to talk about this time around is from Paul Farrell. Cheers, Paul.
Cheers, Paul.
You're not drinking. I know it's a Tuesday, but just pretend.
Didn't you hear that sip right now?
I did. Were you drinking water?
No, man.
Coca-Cola.
Yo, yeah! So Paul
I know
says,
that's right.
Excited to be a part of the show and help in any way I can. Topic. Best genre double features.
Topic.
What would be some great, relatively unseen films to pair together in an effort to win over a friend who may not be a fan of horror? Example, I once showed 1987's Ooh. The Stepfather. I paired it with 1978's Martin to a horror novice, and they walked away craving more. A fun pairing that offered different perspectives of a genre, but still played well together in terms of tone and pace. So, Brad, I know you've been thinking about this.
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Oh.
No. Fuck. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I probably have a couple notes here and there. So Stepfather and Martin. That's an interesting double feature, I must say. Let's see, to win over, what won you over, Sean? Like, what do you remember, like, watching something and saying, okay, this is something, like, I want to dive into, like, genre-wise? Like, was there any films that made you want to, like, jump in the genre and just devour whatever you could? Did you ever have that moment or to remember that?
Well, I mean, like, for me, it's always been, like, monster movies. So, the one, I mean, and I've always been able to get away with sci-fi, but, I mean, the one that did it for me that really got me into just wanting to devour more and more monster movies, was Predator. I mean, I was a huge Schwarzenegger fan. And it scared the shit out of me, but I couldn't get that monster and the whole film, like, out of my head after that. I was at my grandpa's house, and I think my dad was there, and my uncles were there, and the women were in the kitchen with my grandma doing something, but us guys were in the living room watching TV, and they were like, all right, we're gonna put on a movie. And I was like, well, what are you putting on? And I had to have been like seven or eight. And we were camping my grandpa's backyard that night. So they put on Predator, and I sat there like, cause I had never seen anything that violent. Number one, like, I'd always been very sheltered from everything. And I don't think I'd ever seen anything that violent. I think before that I had seen like Terminator, and that he rips, you know, one of the punk dude's hearts out. Right. And that was probably the goriest thing I'd ever seen. But Predator was like a whole new level. With Jesse Ventura getting his whole rib cage blown out and all the skinned soldiers hanging upside down, and how the Predator, rips out the spinal column and cleans off the skulls and all that kind of stuff. Like, this was hardcore, stuff for me. And I remember hiding behind the chair, but still fascinated all at the same time. And then that night, we were spending the night in a tent in my grandpa's backyard, and I don't think I slept at all. But after that, I started diving into Alien. I was scared, but I thought it was like a cool thing to be scared of, you know, if that makes any sense. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head. And yeah, I was scared beyond, you know, I couldn't even handle it, but I was so scared. But after that, I started devouring Alien, Aliens, Got more into the Terminator movies, and then I started tracking down like lesser known kind of monster movies like Deep Star 6. And then I finally got the courage to jump into the Nightmare on Elm Street series, and then it kind of went on from there. Like, so I think Predator was probably my entry point into finally giving horror a chance. Cause it, you know, I was always taught that, and it will, like, monster movies were okay, but if we got into anything spiritual or with demons, then that was, you know, to watch out for. So, but because of Predator, I started, you know, opening up the floodgates and little by little adding more and more and getting more adventurous with stepping into the horror section. And then I, you know, and I always like things that were, you know, like Nightmare on Elm Street that were a bit otherworldly. And, so I guess that was it. That's a long way around of me saying that, Predator, Brad, Predator is the answer to your question.
Wow. Cool. Mine was Child's Play. But, all right.
Nice.
No, I just remember that one specifically of like actually scaring me and then wanting to watch, more and so on. So I mean, I think that was the film that kind of did it for me. And then I, you know, just kind of devour whatever I could get my hands on at that point. And, when I was younger, we lived in Pennsylvania, and there was a rental store that was like 45 minutes away at this spa place. Like, for some reason, up north in Pennsylvania, in this small, like, ass, like, town, there's 45 minutes away, there was like a spa retailer. And in the spa retailer joint, they had a rental store in the back. How weird is that shit? Well, anyways, I remember, like, walking through and, you know, picking out tapes, to rent. And then when we moved to Florida, there was a few video stores, mom and pop places that were around. And then when I went to Ohio, which I've mentioned on the show many times, there was Video Time, which had wall to wall horror films. I mean, it was insane. Like, I mean, when you go into like kind of rental places like Blockbuster and even Video Hut that was around here, it was very limited, you know, maybe kind of like, not an end cap. One kind of like row of horror, yeah. Maybe front and back, and the tapes were spread out really far. Well, at Video Time, it was nuts. I mean, it was probably, I mean, I remember it pretty vividly. I think it was like four tower shelves, not the ones that are half height in usual video stores, but the ones that towered over. There was at least three on one wall and about six on one and then three on the back. So it kind of made this like, horseshoe shape. And it was just boxes were right next to one another. I mean, there have been at least 1,000 tapes on those shelves. And that's kind of where I really dove into a lot of crazy shit because they had everything, which was pretty cool. So in that sense, I watched a lot of, I mean, shot on video stuff to, you know, mainstream stuff, everything. So I actually had an endless amount of movies to choose from. And, through the years of watching everything, you know, I was always kind of the movie guy, the geeky kid. But at least people would like want to watch movies and want to come over. And then for, I don't know, maybe about 4 years. And this is in my adult life. I mean, this is just a few years ago this stopped, but for about maybe 4 years, I did a movie night, hosting at my house. Wherever I was living at the time. And we had, I would say, roughly about 8 people that would show, like, turn out, like, every Wednesday, every Thursday, for some time. I mean, sometimes it was just, like, 4 people, but, I mean, the most I think we ever had was, like, 8 at one time. It was pretty consistent of at least 6 total. So, and that was including myself. So about 5 people came every night. Or every week on a Wednesday we did it. And, I'm actually starting that back up this Thursday. But we're only going to do one film since we're all old. But I did pairings. Like I tried to pair stuff. Sometimes I would just do something completely off the wall, like do some like 1990 splatter Japanese film and then throw in some like 60s noir in there just to fuck with people. But sometimes I would pair stuff up, pretty well. Like I would actually put a lot of thought into it. Maybe there is a certain tone, a certain theme, you know, maybe an actor returns, maybe just kind of a plot, maybe a reverse plot. You know, like, one time this would be a good one for you, Paul, to really fuck with somebody, and I know that other people like this because there are similarities, and it's really weird. I don't know if David Lynch has ever come out and said this, but if you pair, the original Wizard of Oz to Wild at Heart, the David Lynch movie, that's a really good pairing to see what people do. Because those films are, there's a lot of similarities in those films that it's very, very weird if you watch them back to back. So, I mean, cause it's like, you know, David Lynch or, Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern go on that, like, you know, Yellow Brick Road and meet, you know, Isabella Rossellini and all these other people. Very, very similar to kind of like how everything unfolds with Dorothy. I know it's really, really weird. But, I mean, that's always something just to fuck with people. Like, if you want to do something more, you know, maybe experimental, to kind of trip people out. I always like doing that type of thing, as well. But, you know, that could be one. Anything you got, Sean? Because cool. I got a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm always watching movies by myself. I'm a big loser when it comes to that. And I've never really done very many, like, double features, but whenever I do a double feature, it's always like a similar thing. Like, but now I have, you know, an 11-year-old that's starting to get into horror. So I'm just trying to find fun double features for her and me to watch together. And we recently did, and I think I talked about this on the show, but we watched, Joe Dante's Hole. And then we followed it up with The Gate. So okay. You have two movies about kids finding something in a hole, but, you know, she had a lot of fun. Like she was like picking out the similarities and having fun with kind of after we watched both of them, like saying how they're similar, how they're different. So that was one of them. But I mean, something that I can, another one that I would probably recommend somebody, like I said, I always cross I'm a big fan of sci-fi horror, and a fun double feature would be to take Joe Bigos, his movie Almost Human, and pair that with the 1993 Body Snatchers, and that'd be a fun double feature. I think both are, like, Almost Human's still kind of underseen. It's still very much an indie in our circle. Like everyone talks about it, but I think the 93 Body Snatchers is still pretty underseen. Like everyone's seen 1973. Anyway, that version of Body Snatchers. But not a lot of people have seen the 1993 version. So that'd be a fun one, I think.
Yeah. It's a.
But you see, you're programming all these things. Like you're like always thinking about this.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I don't know if I would do that, but that's an interesting. Right. That's an interesting choice.
I have fun pairing similar things up where what Paul's talking about is like two kind of sort of different things, but them being paired up nicely. But nothing. I've been thinking about this and like. You know, off the top of my head, I couldn't really think of anything because that's not how I approach double features.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously two films that have been seen by most horror fans. But if you're trying to turn somebody on to maybe something, you know, that they're, you know, this is two films that they probably haven't seen, is that I think a great pairing is Halloween 3 with Cabin in the Woods. Because they both have kind of like this, weird, outcome in weird, like, they both just go fucking off the rails. Like, even when you think you have Cabin in the Woods figured out, like, it does that Halloween 3 thing where it's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, we're having to deal with, fucking Stonehenge, and then Cabin in the Woods, they have to fucking please these gods. Spoiler alert, but this is Screamcast Late Night. But I always thought that would be, like, a really fun, and I've done that for people, not for the movie night stuff, but, just to pair, just to see how, people go along with it. I would say another good double feature that I've done for people is a very, very small, indie. Came out in like 2000. Well, both of these are pretty small indies. One gained a little bit more popularity because the director's a little more popular now. But, I forget his name. And he has an American name too. The guy that directed Creep and Black Death. Christopher Smith. Yeah, I think his name's Christopher Smith. Christopher Smith's Creep. And then this, which is, I think, a little bit more.
You're correct, Brad.
Yeah, thank you. A little bit more well known, I think, is Creep, mainly because, you know, Severance, Christopher Smith did, Triangle and that shit. And he also did the Santa Claus
movie. Watch all of his movies.
Yeah, they're really good. But he did, Creep and this other film, a very, very small film written by, I think it's, Maurice, well, this movie's called End of the Line. And it has to deal with kind of these people that get trapped in a subway station, like underground, transportation. And the end of the world is happening, but it's being taken over by, radical religious people. And they have to survive the night with these people that are wanting to kill them because that's what God told them to.
Oh man.
What's
the name of that?
End of the Line. It's fucking terrible.
End of the Line.
Yeah. I think they both came out around 2007. But don't watch the trailer. Don't even look at the cover of the movie.
Okay.
Don't type it in. Because the worst thing about
this. I'm writing a note because I'm going to search the movie out.
Yeah.
But dude, if I buy the movie, I can't look at the cover?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Dilemma.
Here's the thing. Is that when you, this is the most upsetting thing about End of the Line. Is that the cover gives away the movie. Like, when I very first saw it, I was like, oh shit, this movie's gonna be creepy, this is gonna be crazy. And I'm watching the movie and I was like, wait a second, what's happening? Like, this cover is not telling me, like, is this a false thing? And then something happens and I'm like, oh, I was expecting that the whole fucking time. Way to go. Marketing.
Jackasses. So,
yeah, basically, it's just a bunch of people get trapped in. Maurice Devereaux. He also directed this fun little movie called Slashers back in the day. Like a Japanese TV show that people are hunted down by serial killers. But anyways, nice. End of the Line and Creep always be a good one, mainly because they kind of have that same look, you know, the dirty, dingy, subway. Train stations, and they're, you know, two females leads that are basically trying to survive the night from crazy obstacles.
Nice. Hey, we're coming up on our time limit, so I had one more.
Oh, go ahead. We have a time limit. I got like 100.
No, so keeping this 20 to 30 minutes, man.
How long has this fucking episode been? It's crazy.
So this has been going for like almost 30 minutes.
Yeah, but didn't you have to like do shit?
We probably got about 10 minutes.
All right, go ahead.
But yeah, we'll alternate. Let me do one more and then we'll go. I was looking at my Neon Maniacs case and I was like, what would I want to see with a Neon Maniacs?
It's crazy because I have Neon Maniacs on my list.
Oh, do you? Okay. And I was thinking, well, the obvious thing would be Nightbreed, right?
No.
No? Well, you know, but The Alamo Drafthouse last year did a double feature with Street Trash. And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, now that would be kind of a cool double feature. I can't take credit for it because I automatically went to Nightbreed, but then I Googled it up, saw that Alamo Drafthouse did this. And I think that's a pretty good double feature. What do you think about that combination, Brad?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
I'm not for it. Jesus Christ. My double feature would be something that's just kind of wacky. Because here's the thing about Street mm-hmm. Trash. It makes sense. Nightbreed makes sense. The one thing about Neon Maniacs is it doesn't make any sense. They ran out of money to film the movie. It doesn't even have an ending. They made up some bullshit. Like, they ran out of money for the film. And they even had to go back, like, a year later to film more, you know, more bullshit scenes in order to make it longer. So a movie that I think is absolutely insane and crazy and just as fun, and it's a completely different caliber, is a movie called Lady Terminator, which is a rip off of Terminator, but a Filipino ripoff of Terminator with a female alien who's also a cyborg. But a lot of fun.
Of course.
Really, really weird. I think both are kind of off kilter and both fit kind of that, awesomely weird, not for everyone, double feature.
Very cool.
I have one that's not really horror, but I think Duel and Rolling Thunder are two, great films back to back just because of the look of the films. I tend to look at the films like always as a double feature. I mean, obviously they don't relate to one another, but there's something about kind of just the tone of the film and just the look and the music that are, very similar. I always think that's a really good opening because Duel's kind of like a horror film, but also kind of like just a thriller. And then, you know, of course, Rolling Thunder is just kind of a buildup. You get really, really nervous. A great double feature again with stuff like that is Deliverance and, Southern Comfort, you know, kind of a same tone. A bunch of dudes out in the woods get fucking pigeonholed, but they get fucked up and have to deal with the locals.
Cornhole.
There you go. Someone gets cornholed.
That's Deliverance for sure.
You know, a double feature that I always love that I've done for people is Drive Angry and Hobo with a Shotgun. Just because they both...
I was thinking about Drive Angry. I was like, what can I pair with that?
I think because they're both really wacky and just a lot of fun and silly. I mean, Hobo with a Shotgun is a little bit more mean, I guess. But I don't know. I dig it. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and House of Thousand Corpses. Because everybody was like, oh, House of Thousand Corpses is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's like, no. Fucking House of Thousand Corpses is fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. When they get down in that fucking lair, that looks like the house and House of Thousand, or the dungeon things in House of Thousand Corpses.
Well, Rob Zombie's for sure inspired by...
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Those Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies.
Just to name a few. Mulberry Street and Night of the Creeps. I think is a lot of fun. Were Rats and Zombies. Have you seen Mulberry Street?
I have not. Is it Were Rats?
Yeah. Here's the thing is I didn't see Mulberry Street when it very first came out and someone said, hey, watch Mulberry Street. I was like, what it's about? And they're like, well, it's kind of like werewolves, but they're rats. And I was like, that sounds really fucking stupid. But oh my God, dude, it's so fucking good.
The difference between you and me is like I hear that. I'm like, dude, that sounds amazing. And your initial reaction is, yeah, that sounds horrible. Yeah.
It sounds like a fucking trauma movie.
I'm glad it's good.
If you want to get a little bit of hexploitation and getting really like weird and not overly violent, but just kind of mean, is Poor Pretty Eddie and Psycho from Texas. I think that those are pretty good. The Poor Pretty Eddie's on Blu-ray. Psycho from Texas is a little bit harder to find. If you want a kind of an artsy, fartsy night, but also kind of be really wacky, is Eraserhead, paired with a Japanese film called Tetsu the Iron Man. They're both shot black and white, and Tetsu's, they're both experimental films, and they're both really, really wild. Open with Eraserhead, nice. Close with Tetsu.
Here's one.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Dead and Buried.
Dead and Buried.
Paired with Cemetery Man.
Dead and Buried. Is that the fucking Ron Perlman movie? Oh, wait, no. Dead and Buried, is that the...
James Ferrantino.
Is that the anthology?
Robert Englund is in it.
It's the one with, like, Romero helped out with, right?
It's written by Dan O'Bannon.
I can't remember
that movie. It's like the small village and, like, transients and tourists are murdered, but then they suddenly, like, reappear or something like that.
Huh.
It's been forever since I've seen Dead and Buried, but I remember watching this and Cemetery Man around the same time, and they're very different. Cemetery Man's more of this weird, zombie love story type thing.
Yeah, that's about right.
I need to watch that again soon, but I remember, like, thinking about both of these in the same kind of, mindset. I think they both involve some sort of zombies, but I think that they're both done so differently. But, that's some great gore and stuff in Dead and Buried for sure. Stan Winston, of course, is involved in that.
Yeah.
But,
anyway,
it just kind of popped in. I really want to rewatch these. I remember really liking Dead and Buried, but it's been years.
Yeah. I honestly can't remember that movie at all. Right now, I'm drawing a complete blank.
The cover is like
a head,
porcelain head face of a person head
out of the ground, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have it. I honestly don't remember watching that movie at all.
Well, it's been a while for me. Like, I was like, I remember that movie that I pulled it from my shelf and I went, ah, shoot, I don't remember this movie, but I, for some reason, I'm always putting that and Cemetery Man together. I don't know.
We haven't done any Giallo yet. I think two good pairings for Giallo films is Franco Nero in The Fifth Chord and Anthony Bido's film called Who Saw Her Die. They're both similar in the sense of really kind of showing the killer from a distance or more up close of the killer than most kind of slashers and giallos do. So it gives it kind of a sense of creepiness. The Fifth Chord was one of the films that I saw even as a teenager. And I was so desensitized at that point, but there was a scene in that movie that fucking scared me. I was like, oh shit, I'm fucking turning on the light. Like, I ain't playing with this shit no more. But yeah, they're both similar in sense of kind of, making the killer just creepier than what regular giallos do. Usually it's just the black, gloves and, I mean, The Fifth Chord, that's what is killing people is the black gloves, but there's kind of this weird thing of him hunting people and it's kind of more of a POV, which again is a lot of giallo, but I don't know. There's something about the tension and buildup in Fifth Chord that's unlike a lot of other giallo films. April Fool's Day and Slaughter High are two very, very fun pairings because they both take place on April 1st.
Nice.
Because Slaughter High was originally called April Fool's Day, and it's an April Fool's Day prank, of course. And since April Fool's Day is coming up, that's always a really fun little pair to do. Because they're totally different slashers. One's really goofy and weird, and the other one's a little bit more straightforward, but very reminiscent of maybe a Friday. April Fool's Day is very reminiscent to kind of how Friday the 13th is shot and presented. Sometimes I think of scenes like in kills in April Fool's Day, and I'm like, wait, was that from Friday the 13th or not?
just because they're very, very similar in tone. And I think maybe this could be, I got two more real quick.
All right.
And they're both Norwegian. One is called, Rovdyr, which is translates to manhunt. It's like a 70 minute backwoods fuckfest. And fuckfest is in there's no fucking. It's just these kids get fucked up quick and fast. It's like 10 minutes. They're like, oh shit, we fucked up. And then they're just dying. Which is a lot of fun. It's really crazy and moves so fast. And then paired up with what I consider, the best modern slasher and also one of the best slashers of all time, is Cold Prey. It's extremely well shot. It looks so good. It's creepy. It has some great fucking sequences. You care for everybody in the film, unlike most slasher films where everybody's fucking around and you want to die. It makes you really feel for the characters, but you want to see that snowman killer kill everybody. And last but not least, two films that have to deal with slumber parties.
Mm-hmm.
Is Slumber Party Massacre, and which everybody knows, but pair it with a little unknown film called Offerings. It's very, very similar. And it's really goofy. And it's, I don't know if it's a misedit or they just fucked up, but you find out who the killer is pretty quick in this movie. And the score is ripped off of Halloween. It's the exact same score as Halloween. It's just played like 10 times slower. but yeah, check out Offerings. It's a lot of fun. That one might be a little bit harder to find, but, yeah, those are my kind of double features. Maybe you can make people dive into those and have a good time.
Damn.
I know I would. I would love you, Paul, if you showed me something like that.
See, I knew you would have a shit ton to talk about because you're like a veteran with kind of putting these, movie nights together. I envy you and your movie nights.
Hey, they're gonna be starting up again, but we're just doing one film. But still, it you have to be careful because if you buck around too much, people are just not gonna want to come. So
yeah,
it's always strenuous.
Before we close, have you had a movie night that just fucking bombed because of the movie choice?
Yes.
And what was the choice and what was the scenario?
I screened, what's coming out on Blu-ray very soon by Arrow. I screened, Dead or Alive, Mike's Dead or Alive.
Yeah.
And, I was like, this is like some crazy gangster shit. And, there's a scene in the film that's very, very disturbing. And it really upset one of the ladies that came to this thing. And, she like basically got up and she said, look, I watch a lot of shit that you put on, but this is too far. And I was like, it's just one sequence. It's underground Yakuza and it's a bunch of fucked up shit. And she's like, well if you play anything like this again, I'm not coming.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. I was like, it's fine. So I never got around to watching the show and in the sequels. And then at the end of the film, even everybody was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I was like, all right, well, apparently no more Mike films, but I did return with Mike years later with 13 Assassins.
Yeah.
So, and they all dug that.
That's funny.
But yeah, I've only had the one instance where I really offended somebody. And when you watch Dead or Alive, you're going to know the scene where it could potentially just, if you're easily offended or weirded out by certain things, you're just going to say, fuck this shit. So Don't watch it with the kids.
Back in the day, before I was married and when I was hanging out with a bunch of singles in Tulsa, which Tulsa, Oklahoma is like a Bible college town. So a lot of spiritual people up in there. And I did a double feature movie night of Mallrats and Clerks. And we did Mallrats first for some reason, because that was the more accessible one, I think. And then we moved into Clerks. And then like when once she fucks the dead guy in the bathroom, like everyone left except me and one of my good buddies. And we finished watching Clerks together.
I would have stayed because I masturbated during that.
and that stuff always happened like on my birthday. Like I would have less and less friends, but this is how you find your real friends, folks. Less and less friends because it would be my birthday and I'd pick the movie. And I think I picked Confessions of a Dangerous Mind one year. And is that the name? Confession? That's about the Gong Show host, right?
Yeah.
He's like
Barris, right?
What?
I was Chuck.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of ass in that movie, and for some reason, my friends found the Bible college friends found his ass. Who's the actor? I'm having a brain blank.
Shit. Don't look it up, Sean. I hear you typing. He's in Teenage Turtles season.
I know. Why can't I think right now?
Sam Rockwell. Bugging me.
Yes, Sam Rockwell. What the hell? It's the whiskey. But a lot of his ass in that movie, and for some reason people just, everyone started leaving, like all my friends. And then the same thing happened with Punch Drunk Love. I took everyone to Punch Drunk Love, and half of everyone pretty much left. I think right when he was like, he goes, I want to fucking smash your face open with my hands and rip out your, you know, when they're into the weird love talk in a way. And like, they all left. And then pretty much people stopped going to the movies with me at that point. I live a sad and lonely life. It'll be okay. So, fuck them. Fuck those people. I learned who my real friends were, and my real friends, we would go out and watch, you know, whatever we wanted. All right, Paul, this is only supposed to go 20 to 30 minutes, but I knew that it would go over, Brad. I knew it would. So you're welcome, everybody. Paul, thank you for the great suggestion, and we have a handful of others. I'll keep reminding everyone each week to throw something in if you haven't, and we'll be getting to these once a week or whenever we can. I know this is kind of an off day, but these are easy to kind of prepare for. We just get on the mics and bullshit with each other for a little bit. So hope you guys enjoyed this. Yeah, it's pretty much just like the show, except I do a little more prep for the show. This I did zero prep at all.
Okay. So
just but you have all that shit like locked in your brain.
Yes.
I know.
A little bit.
Music on the show is a band called The Sorcerers, and the song is called Sir Toll off of their 2015 self-titled album. They're like a weird horror jazz group and pretty awesome. I was trying to find something different to kind of lead the show in and lead the show out. So that's all. The link to their album will be in the show notes. You can find them on iTunes and Spotify and everything. Of course, the regular show can be found at thescreamcast.com and over at oneofus.net. And spread the word to everyone. Everyone say that this Screamcast late night is like the best thing ever and totally worth becoming a patron.
You don't have to lie. It's the best thing ever.
It's fun that that those of you listening, like, that's the cool thing about Patreon is, like, we know who our hardcore listeners are, who our friends are. Like this specific show is specifically for you guys. No.
Friends.
No. Real friends, but it's, no, I'm just kidding. you know what I mean? You know, like, I don't know. It's just nice to know, like, a handful of you care is all I'm saying. All right. You guys give it a little bit of hard-earned money, each month, and what I'm saying is, no matter how much you're giving, like, it means a lot. Like, we don't take it for granted. So we want to be able to provide fun extras for everyone a few times a month to make your money worthwhile. And, you know, like I said, like, once we get to our $100 goal, we're going to unlock this for the $3 and up patrons to hear. And then when we get to our $200 goal, we'll unlock this for all patrons to hear. However, the $5 and up patrons will be the ones kind of driving the conversation. So, I know that once we get hit certain goals as far as our monthly goals go, I know that we'll be switching up the tiers a little bit to kind of be able to provide more for everyone. Cause my feeling is the more of you are giving to the show, the more, resources we'll have and, you know, the more kind of extras we'll be able to, provide for everyone. So it's all kind of fluid, I think, with how everything's going. So anyway, all of you guys have a great rest of the week. Gosh, when are you guys hearing this? Be on the lookout for Splatcast. Splathouse and Screamcast smashing together in a one gigantic episode. I'm a little nervous to how it's going to turn out. That's a lot of us on a Skype call, but I'm trusting their engineer. What was his name?
Jim Rock.
Who's doing all
Jim
that?
Rock Schiller.
Jim, no pressure. It's all on you. So, anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time around.
See ya.